hang on for a minute here. I'm just let me find this audio. Derek, can you just play the audio of Baseball Central from last week? Any day they were playing the Yankees? Because it's the same damn thing. Just put, you know, well, I don't know, pull one up from the 14-1 game or something like that. Let's just play it. Seriously.
Now, not to state the obvious here, but realistically, when we were sitting here yesterday and you were reading off who was pitching in last night's game and you knew who they were facing, did you really think that's going to go well? Like, you were like, you know, three wins in a row. Like, that's what you were thinking when you were leaving here. With who the Blue Jays lineup was facing and who the Blue Jays were pitching.
Well, they did get the pitch count high.
When you were rolling into that next show that you do, you were thinking.
How come they don't have, by the way, how come we don't have Baseball Central up here on the screen behind us?
Nobody cares about us.
Well, I do. Got other shows.
It's for advertisement, I think.
Well, it doesn't matter.
When you're on TV for the 3 o'clock show. Aren't you on TV?
thanks for listening and watching.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's why I hurry home. Fight traffic.
Anyhow, I thought maybe it would be up there. That's all. It kind of allows me to get into my Baseball Central mindset.
Yeah, yeah. What is that exactly?
Well, it varies from day to day.
But, hey.
I had a text exchange with a friend of mine in the baseball industry.
Huh.
I'm not going to say who. I'm going to protect their identity. Asking me, how you feeling? He just said, what's going on? You know, just reaching out, talking to me.
Oh,
I said, hey, I'm okay. Tired of watching horse bleep now, baseball.
They were coming off of two solid wins.
I just got tired.
It's not realistic yesterday with who the Yankees were throwing out there. I mean, I just mentioned, you're only as good as the guy standing on the mound. And, maybe. Tanaka, you make an adjustment.
What are the chances of them making an adjustment tonight against
them? Maybe Bo Bichette scoots up in the plate, catches the splitty before it splits. Legs won. We come in here tomorrow. They won 4-3, low-scoring game.
By the way, we'll be joined by Cal Quantrill in a few minutes. Cal made his first start for the Cleveland Indians last night. They won. They clinched a playoff spot. Jose Ramirez is out of his mind right now. Three-run walk-off home run. You see where that pitch was, too, that he hit? Oh, God.
Yeah, he's lefty.
Did you see it, though?
Switch hitters. Lefties love the ball down. He's a really good hitter.
Yeah. Oh, he is. I know.
He has the same swing, lefty and righty.
Yep.
Which I have not. It's hard enough to keep one side.
Yeah. It is remarkable.
To have both sides the way he is. MVP race.
Yeah. He is. He gets my vote.
The question is, how upset are you that your boy, Derek Fisher, did not make the roster, the 40-man roster? Are you excited or are you mad?
Well, he can still go on if there's an injury, can he? Can he not? Yeah,
I mean, he's just not on it. I think mentally that's deflated
him.
He's tapped out.
I admit I'm surprised that he wasn't on the roster because, again, I just expected that there was somebody in this organization who liked him so much that they would like his swing path in the postseason as much as they liked his swing path in the regular season.
Yeah. I'm sure if he was healthy.
Oh, he would be on. If he was healthy, he'd be starting today against Tanaka, right?
Yeah. Uppercutting his swing.
Hell yeah. Uppercut catching the ball. He'd be starting against Tanaka tonight for sure. Got to have that bat in the lineup. Anyhow,
be nice.
12-1 was the score last night. There really wasn't a great deal to talk about. I mean, the anger I had at the start of the show, folks, I'm going to put my hand up and admit it was fake. I wasn't upset. I'm putting my hand up. That was fake anger. You know, the other day the Derek Fisher stuff was legit. Well, 60% of it was legit.
But 60-40.
This is just that reaction at the beginning was beneath me.
I will say
but it was. I just do get tired of. Again,
to drop the freaking ball is when I stopped scoring.
All right, that was real. That part was real.
That was real.
No, that part was real because it is true. I just at that point I don't got life's too short for this. I'm not watching. There's a pandemic. People are dying. I'm not watching Derek Fisher try to catch a ball when people are dying. I'm just not. There's no point to it.
Mm.
Last night, the thing that is going to really bother me about this team this year, and I need somebody again to explain this to me, is how a team full of young hitters can be overmatched by velocity. I'm sorry. It goes against everything. I can see if you're 40 years old being overmatched against elite velocity. I cannot for the life of me understand how someone in their early 20s, full of piss and vim and vinegar, can't hit a heater. I just can't. I can understand if they couldn't hit a off-speed pitch or breaking pitch. Okay, well, you got to, you know, that comes with experience. If you're a good major leaguer, you should be able to hit elite velocity. If you're on the level that we think these guys are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I said RR. If we're on the level that these guys are, I do not get how they can't hit elite velocity.
I think a lot of it is they're guessing. And some of them can't. I mean, that's...
Why not just look fastball and swing at it?
Again, I've said this 1,000 times, and I'll continue to say it. If you could hit it, you'd look for it.
All right.
You can spin it mechanically. Like, Vladdy, that's for me, that's timing and all that stuff going on. He can hit a heater. It's just because lower half is not connected to the upper half. You know, the hand movement and all the feet movement and never on time. And I mean, them balls that Cole was throwing him right down the middle. Right. They are about as center cut as you can get them. And he's late. And that what keeps me from having to apologize. That's one thing it does.
Were there any, I was going to say, I mean, I don't even know. What should we talk about last night?
Well,
595-90 is a text line, by the way.
He didn't walk a guy.
Yeah, he didn't walk a guy.
So there's two things.
That's good.
Look for positives.
All right.
Jonathan Davis made a nice play in the outfield.
Yeah.
Kevin Biggio hit a home run on a fastball.
Uh-huh.
Stayed inside a ball.
Mm-hmm.
Got the barrel in the hitting zone quick.
Are we going to talk about
center.
That?
That's a bomb.
We'll talk about that staying inside the ball. We'll talk about that in the last segment. Have you figured that out yet?
How to stay inside of baseball?
Yeah, what
no,
it means.
I'm here with you. If I would have figured it out, I would have made tons
true.
Of money. And
that's true.
Not had to.
Stop it. Don't go there.
Yeah.
So we will discuss that. We will discuss the 40-man roster. There's no surprise there. No. Derek Fisher wasn't
16 pitchers. That's a lot.
Yeah, it's kind of what I figured.
That's a lot, though.
Josh Palacios has made it. I didn't even know he was on the team, but good for Josh Palacios.
Yeah.
If we're talking about Josh Palacios during the postseason, things are probably not going well. In terms of pitching, I think it's safe to say that TJ Zoik pitched himself into postseason contention. I don't think there's any surprises there. Sean Reed Foley.
Yeah. You won't use him unless you have to.
Yeah. Patrick Murphy, that makes sense.
TJ Zoik, I like him. Power sinker. Big guy. Ball gets on you quicker.
Yeah, there's something there. I don't
Flyer's
know.
Okay.
I don't know what, but I think there is something there.
I think 6'7", you know, if he can find a something in that windup, he can repeat over and over again. There's a lot of parts there. It's like they're long parts. So, you know, getting it to the slot over and over and over again, that'll be his issue. But if he does, hey, the sinker plays. Like, you know, so much for having to throw the ball up. He got a lot of people out down with some movement. That's still a nice pitch. Down and away and down and in to righties. That's heavy sink to it. Ground ball, you need a good defense. They got that. Left side of the infield, he's got a chance.
Yeah, as I said, there is there's something there. I mean, it's somebody in the organization tell me. Spring training, and we were talking.
Yeah.
The triple A team
next year is going to be loaded with starting
pitching.
There's
something there.
It's going to be loaded.
The Cleveland Indians clinched a 2020 postseason berth last night. Exciting fashion. Jose Ramirez, who has to be, he's got to be the front runner for the AL MVP award, walking it off.
Front runner.
Got to be, man.
Abreu's pretty good for the White Sox. I mean, that's front runner. You're strong there.
Well,
I mean, he's in the mix.
Yeah, I don't know.
Somebody in my ear said Bieber. He's a pitcher. Come on. Like if I could throw something through the window of the person that just said that to me.
No, I just.
A pitcher would never get a vote for me.
I think
really good, and he'd be the front runner. He's running away with the Cy Young's easy.
Ramirez gets consideration for me because the White Sox have a lot of good hitters. And
no, you flip-flopped that. Ramirez didn't play for the White Sox. You're meaning that Ramirez gets votes because the White Sox have good hitters.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't mean somebody has to hit it. Abreu's hitting it.
I think Ramirez is doing more.
He's in the mix.
On his own.
Like, he's going to finish up there.
Let's bring in Cal Quantrill. He was the pitcher last night for the Cleveland Indians in that win, and he joins us on Baseball Central. Cal, thanks for doing this. I trust you're keeping well. Tell me, how does a team celebrate clinching a postseason in a pandemic? Anyhow, like, what goes on?
Yeah, a little different rules as to what's allowed in the clubhouse, but I think we're just all trying to be responsible, but still enjoy it. You know, I don't think it changes anything for us how short the season is. Everyone's been working since, you know, the new year, getting ready. So it was a pretty exciting night yesterday, and we just did our best to make sure that we were staying socially distanced, but making sure smiles on everyone's face.
I know you haven't been with the Cleveland Indians very long, but Shane Bieber, have you had conversations with him? And what's first impressions when he takes the mound?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's elite. It's the best in baseball right now. I think that he gives us a very, very good chance to win every time he's on the mound. And it's just, it's methodical. He picks guys apart, and he's stubborn with his pitches. He's consistent. He executes at an extremely high rate. He does pretty much everything you ask of an ace.
Okay. What you said, stubborn. Can you explain that to people that don't pitch? What would that mean? Stubborn.
So you're playing a good team, and you go 2-0 on a guy.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of people even in this league at the highest level who will come back and will, you know, maybe not trust the pitch selection or not trust how they got to a count and throw a pitch that ends up maybe getting hit. I think that thing that's making Bieber so special, at least in my head, is that he has so much confidence in 3 to 5 pitches a night that it's just, you know, he can stay stubborn. He can throw the pitch he wants kind of where he wants to on command. And he doesn't have to give in to any of the hitter's strengths if he doesn't want to. He has a lot of different ways to get guys out. And I think that's why you see him go so deep so consistently.
That's a great answer.
Cal, tell us what went through your mind when you were traded to Cleveland as part of that package with the Padres.
I think, like, you know, your first team, you've got a kind of a soft spot for them. You haven't fully accepted that it's a business yet. You think maybe you'll be the one in a million who plays for an organization their whole career. I'm lucky enough to have had some experience in the game. I think that just having watched so much baseball for so long, I was well aware of the fact that it's a possibility. But I was sad to go. It's a great team over there. I guess that was probably the first impression. And the second impression was, dang, I'm getting a lot closer to home, and this is a winning ball club too. How often do guys go from, you know, a borderline first-place team to another borderline first-place team? It's pretty rare. So I think I'm incredibly blessed to have gotten a chance to come to another very good team who's, you know, has a history of developing pitchers and is well in this race. And I think we've proven it the last couple of nights. And, you know, I don't think anybody's excited to face us.
How about pitching coaches? Is it hard from going, you know, they have different ways of telling you different things. You know, one guy may see something that the other guy doesn't see. Has that been a tough change, or have you just sort of went from one and fit into the other?
You know, I actually think it's an advantage. I mean, there's a lot of smart people in this league. There's a lot of great coaches in this league. And absolutely, you kind of can build a rapport with somebody. But it's never the worst thing in the world hearing what another smart person has to say about, pitching. I think that, you know, if you pick up 1-5% from everyone you meet, you're probably more likely to be smarter than somebody who's only taken 100% from one person.
Now, I know it's relatively early days with Cleveland, and you know, you were traded in the middle of a pennant race, but are you able to tell, Cal, if there is a different organizational philosophy in Cleveland when it comes to pitching compared to San Diego, and particularly how you, I don't know, I was going to say how you use your pitches in a game, but that's really not what I'm getting at, but just a different philosophy about attacking hitters, I guess, is probably the best way to ask it.
I would say I definitely don't feel like I've been here long enough to give like a Wikipedia entry on how they go about their business. I would say that, you know, the American League and the National League do have some differences. I think that these guys have just done a fantastic job of developing their young talent. Like they're getting the draft right. They're clearly maximizing each guy's abilities. I think we have, what I think is interesting is there's quite a few different types of pitchers on this team. And it seems like they've kind of been able to get the most out of a lot of different types of players. And that's hard to do. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. That being said, I mean, San Diego's got a great squad this year, and a lot of guys throwing real hard out of the pen, and it was fun there too. So, like I said, I feel like I've been kind of lucky. Two good organizations.
Cal, have you seen throughout pitching staffs, now you've been in the National League, you've been in the American League, the DH added to the National League, has there been different game plans you've seen in the National League this year because of that reason?
You know, I think some teams were more prepared for it than others. Mm-hmm. Certainly some teams had guys who probably would slot into a DH role pretty easily. I would just say, like, what I've seen in the National League, at least in the West, is, you know, there's a lot of teams who are maybe not platooning, but have the ability to go left and right pretty consistently. And maybe the fact that there is no DH has kind of led to that. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the American League, it seems like a lot of times you face, you know, there's seven guys in a lineup who are going to be in a lineup. But again, it's pretty team to team. I think that that's kind of changing too. Our sport's changing. So I'm not sure if there's anything I could say that's drastically different regarding the DH, other than obviously the American League was more prepared for it than the National League.
Yeah, okay, you said you wanted to be a starter, which is, you know, you have starter stuff. Is there one thing you're going to go home, without giving trade secrets, is there one thing after 2020, you go home in the offseason, you're in your car, you're riding home, you're going, man, if I can just get this, that's going to take me to the next level?
I don't even think there's that many trade secrets. Throw the ball really, really hard where you want to with a nasty breaking ball and a changeup, and you'll play forever.
Wow.
So, I mean, the goal is to make that what I am, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Look at the best pitchers in the league. That's what they're all doing. They throw pitches where they want to in any count, and they attack, and they're aggressive. I think that, at times I've shown I can do that. At times I feel like that's frustrated me. But I know I've got the stuff, and I'll go home and kind of put what we've learned, you know, hopefully for another month and a half of this year to give it a little break, and then come back and just try and get right back after it.
In conversation with Cal Quantrill on Baseball Central, how much fun has it been to watch what Jose Ramirez is doing right now?
Oh, it's incredible. I heard you guys kind of talking about the MVP race there.
Yeah.
I think that Jose is, you know, absolutely part of the conversation right now, and especially when you consider that there's a week left to play and what he's been doing the last 2 weeks, but there's still baseball to be played. I think I've noticed that the conversations, maybe it's just because the playoff spots are starting to get locked up, but you know, think about it, in a 2.5-3 month season, whatever this is, you know, six more ball games is a pretty decent chunk. It's 10% of the season. So I don't see why, if he doesn't continue doing what he's doing, why he wouldn't be the odds on favorite.
Okay. I got a quick question before we let you go. If you had to face back-to-back hitters, Ramirez, Tatis Jr., how would you get each one of them out? You've seen them both up close, so you would know this.
Yeah, you know what? They're both. I love both these guys. They're both fantastic. I think that I'm facing Hosey left-handed. I'm probably sinking it away on him, seeing if I can get him to give me an easy out. I'm not sure you want to play around middle in too much. Toddy and I've had a couple battles. I've tried to go in on him, but it's scary when he's on your team. You don't want to drill the guy. So, you know what? I think maybe it depends what they got coming after, but maybe I pitch around those two and just see if I can get a triple play.
That's a great answer.
Very good answer. Cal, thanks for doing this, man. Yeah. Stay healthy. All the best. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, all right. See you guys.
Okay. That's Cal Quantrill of the Cleveland Indians. That's a hell of a question. That's a hell of an answer, too.
Yeah.
A very political answer.
Yeah.
You think about how many, you know, there are a lot of trades made at the trade deadline. And to go from contending team to contending team, it's a lot different than going from contending team to building team.
Yeah.
You know? And, at some point, Cal is going to, he's going to have his spot sewn up. He's too good not to.
Yeah, well, I think he said it. He's going to have to do what the league's doing. If he wants to be mm-hmm. where he thinks he can be, he has to throw hard, located all the time with a really good secondary pitch. That's what the really good ones do. Do you think ever Bichette and Hernandez can be talked about like we just talked about Ramirez and Tatis Jr.? How are they going to pitch? And
Bichette,
would you rather, you know, triple play jokingly kind of thing? You ever think that'll happen?
I mean, I've been all in Bichette from the get-go, so yeah, for sure. Hernandez?
You got to see more?
I got to see more because I still think there's a little bit of a guy in there who'll get himself out. I'm not certain there is with Bo.
Huh.
I'm not certain there is with Bo. But, I mean, I've been on board with Bo for, you know, since I first saw him. I just think that there's so much he can do offensively. I've said I think he's got a shot at a batting title at some point. I really do. Now, again, it's going to depend on what they put around him.
Yeah, well said.
It's going to a large degree. He needs 27 to develop. As long as he's on the team, he needs Vladdy Jr. to develop. But, I don't know. I don't know about Teoscar. I don't know yet.
Jury's still out, huh?
I don't know.
I wonder if there's a lot of people that think that watch him every day.
I don't know.
I think what he does now is quiet and repeatable. And I think he has tons of confidence in it.
Yeah, I will admit I have been impressed with how he has played in the field too, and he's turned himself into, you know, at least a useful outfielder. I don't look at him as necessarily.
It's like
being a
Vladdy playing
weakness.
First. If Vladdy's raking, ain't nobody cares how he plays first.
That's true, unless he drops a fly ball in right field.
Still don't care.
590 is the text line. We got texts. We got a lot of texts, but we'll get through them. 590-590. Text for Barker. We'll take a look ahead at tonight's game. Hey, the Blue Jays can clinch. Yeah. No champagne or anything. Like no big celebrations or anything for clinching anymore. No. You're not. You know, baseball doesn't want you to do that. No.
You can flip it 6 feet away from you.
Baseball Central. That was an odd motion you just made. Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. The Blue Jays can clinch tonight against Masahiro Tanaka. And the New York Yankees. Who's on the mound for the Blue Jays tonight?
Robbie Ray.
Robbie Ray on the mound for the Blue Jays tonight. And Robbie Ray essentially...
Aim big, miss small. Isn't that the saying? There you go.
Big, miss small.
That's what it is, right? That I say it backwards. Whatever.
Yeah.
Aim big, miss small. There you go.
So they've gone from Gerrit Cole not being able to hit Gerrit Cole. And I did want to ask you this. We've seen Gerrit Cole a couple of times now. What's he doing now that he wasn't doing before? Why is he keeping the ball in the yard a little better now? Have you noticed anything?
I think he's locating better.
It's just simple.
Fastball
okay.
command's not been great. You got to most lineups sell out against his fastball because it's 98, 99, 100.
Right.
You got to sell out to hit it. You know, it's wait back, let it travel, hit the ball inside your butt. That don't work against 99 and 100. You got to, you know, think about front leg. Your front leg, you got to hit it on the, you know, inside outside part of your kneecap. That's where you got to try and make contact.
590-590 is the text line. Oh, this is Mike in Canmore, Alberta. What's the more probable Blue Jays signing this offseason? Oh, I like this. George Springer, JT Realmuto, Marcell Ozuna, or Trevor Bauer?
I would Trevor Bauer would be the first guy I would go after.
Bingo.
I think you need the guy, he's number one for me. Yep. I'd put Ryu second. That's just me. But yep, it's going to cost, you know, and I don't think it'd cost you. I think he wants to go 1 year deals. He's already opened his mouth and said that he mm-hmm. likes going year to year. Okay. Drop 25 on him. Who would you rather give the 25 to? Him or Roark? I mean, that's just me. But
well, Roark's only got 13 million.
12,
year.
I think.
12.
What did he sign? Two for 24?
Yeah.
Yeah. He got 12 next year. So, you know, that's me.
George Springer, JT Realmuto.
The Springer thing doesn't make a ton of sense to me because of his age. He's going to want a multi-year deal.
You know, and I think I'm fine. I got to say this. I would love to see another middle of the order bat in here.
Yeah.
But right now, I'm kind of sort of okay with the outfield based on what I've seen this year. Like if they bring the same outfield back next year, I'm not going to piss and moan. You know, like this year I wanted to see another. I mean, frankly, I wanted to see Marcell Ozuna this year or somebody like that. I wanted to see an impact bat this year. Didn't happen. I'm okay with what I've seen so far. If they were to bring that outfield back next year, look, JT Realmuto ticks all the boxes, but he's going to be out of their price range.
How comfortable do you feel about a catcher that you're paying that much money to?
Yeah,
that's a catcher, right?
Catcher's knees go at some point.
Getting up in age.
Yep. Catcher's knees go at some point.
You know, you can spread that out through some pitching and, you know, try and do the Tampa Bay thing. But you got it. You know, it's.
I think I can. With catchers, Kevin, I think I'm okay going maybe giving some guy a 2-year deal, giving some guy a 3-year deal, bringing a couple of guys in on a 1-year. I mean, what I want is, and I realized that this year, it's great to have offense from your catcher, but I really want good, especially in this team, I really want a really good defensive catcher. Like, I want to have a guy who's going to take charge of the infield defense and everything. I want a guy who's going to steal strikes for pitchers, all that stuff. And that to me is my priority.
Yeah, Nate Pearson's a big deal for me offseason. I think he's really got to find it. I think he's got to come next year, like enough.
We said at the start of this year, at least I said at the start of this year, and I think I've been proven correct. Nate Pearson is the guy that will determine how far open this team's window of opportunity is. If Nate Pearson was great this year, if he had been great this year and was a number two starter, and this team was going to the playoffs with Hyunjin Ryu and Nate Pearson, I'm sitting there saying, okay, you know what? Maybe in the offseason now, I get really aggressive.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm operating under the assumption Nate Pearson probably starts the year in AAA next year if there's
for
a minor league
for
season.
Sure, he's 25 for sure. Starts in AAA.
Agreed. Yeah. So I think it's not that I'm taking a step back necessarily, but I'm being a little more measured.
I just think he needs to change his mindset. Stop trying to throw 115. Start pitching at 98.
You know what?
That's me.
With all due respect, I'd like to see 101 or 102 because I haven't seen it from him.
I want to pitch at 98, 99.
I just want to see one.
You see Garrett Cole, how nice and easy. It's just free and easy. Right. I'm locating in the middle of the way. You don't have to use both sides.
I want an advertisement.
Garrett Cole is a one-sided guy.
But I want it.
He's into lefties.
I want an advertisement.
Away to righties.
I want an advertisement. I want you to show me you can throw 101.5. Then you never have to do it again. Just do it once.
I don't get it. I don't understand what that means. Yeah. I'd rather see him locate in 98, throwing that slider curveball wherever he wants to. Here it is. See if he can hit it. That's me. Give him a chance, Jeff.
Doug in Brantford. Mr. Barker, why do catchers not have a higher OBP? Pitch recognition is kind of important for them, is it not? The reason I want to ask
a lot of them are not good hitters. That's the obvious reason.
Yeah, the reason I wanted to ask you this question though is because it gets to what we've seen from Danny Jansen. It gets to what we've seen from Alejandro Kirk. And there's another guy in the organization, Gabriel Moreno. Who is a pretty decent catching prospect. And there's another guy, Riley Adams. I don't know if they still consider him a prospect or not. But What are your expectations for a catcher offensively?
He's got to hit some.
Okay. I don't want you. I know it's hard to. But I am going to say.
Give me an impossible question. It is.
But over 162 games, what would you be comfortable seeing from your number one catcher?
I want to see him get big hits. Runners on base. That's where he does his damage.
Okay.
I'd like to see 60 RBIs. If he's your everyday guy, that means at least four times a week he's playing. I see 60 plus ribbies.
All right.
And then the average, you know, whatever. It's the you're probably talking 240 to 260 in there, right? Mm-hmm. It's that. You got 20-point range. And then the home runs, right, because you're selling out, and the elevated fastballs and a lot of center cut because you're trying to overthrow. That's when, you get in tune with my lower half. I understand when to use my, how to get to my front side, how to, take barrel to baseball. You're learning all these things. Has anything that Danny Jansen's told you that he can do that? That's the issue here. And with the way their bottom of their order has been, it's not been good. Yeah, and the spotlight's always been on him because he's their starting catcher. That's the issue. If everybody else is hitting, then it's okay for your catcher to struggle offensively. Then he's making up for that a lot defensively. He's throwing runners out, he's blocking balls, which that's still a work in progress for me for Danny. Sometimes he doesn't move his feet great enough. His arm is not strong. It has to be accurate. It has to be quick. Quick, what I mean is quick release. And that's, all of these things are a work in progress. That's why I said I think there's a lot of pressure on him. I don't know if you've ever seen TV panning to him before a game, and he's on both knees. He ain't stretching. He ain't warming up. He's looking at that thing on his wrist, on his arm. Like, it's just so much to just, it's almost unfair for us to even think about, to talk about his offense. Like, it's all the time. They pan to him in the dugout. He's talking to Petey about three batters from now, what I'm going to throw him. Or, he's looking at that sheet, and he's got a little sheet in his back pocket he's taking out. It's like, it's very hard to fastball down and away, flip it. I'm going to elevate it in to get you out of way. That's not simple anymore. That's not that way. It's like, sign after three, four. It's like just so much going on that it's almost unrealistic for us to come on here and yell and scream about him not hitting. 170 is not acceptable. And for me, again, he has to do better offensively. I'm not talking about hitting 300, but 170, you can't be a big leaguer and hit 170. I'm sorry. You can't. It has to be respectable. Like, it has to be 230. Mm-hmm. If he's hitting 230, we ain't saying a word about him. We're just not.
Would you have taken another year like the one he had last year?
Oh, sure. He 14 homers, I think, he hit last year. Yeah.
Okay.
That's productive. Like, that's getting hits when, two outs, he comes up with a runner on second, and he runs into one. That's one for four with a two-run homer. That's a good year for a catcher who's your everyday guy.
Well, Danny Jansen's batting average last year was .207, though.
How many homers did he hit?
13 homers.
There you go.
12 doubles.
So average-wise, it sounds like he's never going to hit for average.
Mm.
So this is something, it was not the first thing that I'm going to worry about in the offseason.
Right.
Because I'd rather have a starting pitcher. I'd rather have protection in the middle of the order. You need somebody that can hit good
pitching. But
I took these. Scherzer, nope. Max Fried, nope. Cole twice, nope. Tanaka, nope. Jacob DeGrom, nope. It's non-competitive at bats, and there's a lot of them. All the names I just mentioned, this is the lineup. It has to carry over. It's the American League East, whether people want to yell and scream about it or not. You're facing the Red Sox, who are going to be good again, and it ain't going to be 3 years from now. It's going to be next year. Like, they'll be better than they're going to win more games than they're going to win this year. Obviously, it's a 60-game thing, but they're going to look better next year than they did this year, I think, because it's the Red Sox. They're going to be fans. So it's the American League East. I'm just saying, you're going to have to – I know they're younger and they have to have guys step up. It's unfair to have Hernandez and Bichette have to carry your team against these – Bichette's still finding his way, and Hernandez just figured out how to hit. So it's unfair. They need a guy that everybody can just sort of, lean up against and say, we're going to get this guy on, and he is going to walk up and run into one because he's done it before.
You need a Nelson Cruz type guy.
You sure do. That's exactly what you need. But everybody wants a Nelson Cruz.
Yeah.
So how do you, you know, how do you get it? They, I know what they're thinking. You know, you hope and pray that Vladdy can figure it out in the offseason and come back and be that guy, but time will tell.
590-590 is the text line. We've got a question from Darcy about the Jays pitching going into the postseason. The million-dollar question, Darcy. But we've got a question from Darcy about that, and we want to talk a little bit about Robbie Ray tonight. And just let's – we have decided, I think, that we're going to go Ryu, Walker, and Shoemaker in our three-game series. Let's figure out where Robbie Ray, Tanner Roark, and Chase Anderson fit into the mix. Why are you laughing? Let's play guess along with Pete Walker. All we need is a walkie-talkie. Mm-hmm. Every time I see a picture of Pete Walker on TV,
bobblehead
with the walkie-talkie, he should have one.
He should have one
because he's talking to somebody about getting somebody up at some point because there is another calamity occurring on the pitcher's mound. It's Baseball Central at Sportsnet 590 The Fan. It's Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Writer's Block is just around the corner. You see, they've got the Writer's Block logo up here.
Yeah.
They had Baseball Central up yesterday.
They did not.
Yeah, I think they did.
That is a lie.
I think they did. Derek, wasn't there a Baseball Central thing up here yesterday?
Never.
BS. See, I thought I saw one.
Nope.
Maybe it was. Could have been Hockey Central?
Yes.
What the hell was Hockey Central doing up here? They're not even in the studio.
Mm.
Come to think of it.
Advertisement.
Huh.
Mm.
All right. Just wondering. I wonder about a lot of things these days, Mr. Parker, as you well know. 6:37 is the first pitch tonight. Light a candle, please. Those
no.
Of you
anywhere.
No.
No.
No candle lighting.
Come on. Listen.
All right. No candle lighting.
If what would be key for Robbie Ray? Strike one, I'm not sure matters.
What about throwing the ball as hard as I can?
He does anyway.
And just letting it go.
He'd be grunting like you ain't never heard grunting because it's the Yankees and there's no fans. And you'll be able to hear every grunt.
What is he for you in the postseason? Is he the guy you bring in after Shoemaker in game three?
He's the hybrid guy for me.
He's the guy maybe.
He has to start a clean inning. I ain't bringing him in with no second and third. No.
Mm-hmm.
Clean inning.
You know what's interesting? I was thinking, have they, I don't think, looking ahead to the playoffs, they didn't have Robbie Ray. He has not faced the Tampa Bay Rays yet this year, has he? Because they got him at the trade deadline.
I wouldn't think so.
Duh. That's why I'm the reporter. I wonder if that plays a little bit into his usefulness against Tampa.
I think it's more of strikes. He can never figure out how to harness whatever's going on in there. Because stuff plays. There's no doubting stuff, and it's just, you know, how do you figure out how to when he doesn't have the fastball command? What do I do? That's to me what you see is, does he try and throw it harder, or can he find the feel of it with a secondary pitch? The answer to that I don't know because we haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Like you know, out the gate. If he's just as hard as he can, and that thing's non-competitive pitches, like that fastball out of the hands, running up and away, and them hitters are taking it right out of the hand. They're taking it. Don't even look like they're attempting to swing. What does he do? Tonight, first inning, first 10 pitches, if you're seeing it and they're non-competitive, what does he do? What does Danny Jansen do? I'm assuming Danny's going to catch tonight. What's Danny Jansen do? Is it curveballs? Is it closer to hitters? Can he get closer to hitters? What is it? That's the thing I think you need to watch for. And if he can ever figure that out, to just quickly find it instead of grunting harder, trying to muscle your way through it, I don't think that's him. I know it sounds like that, but he's got to – if he could ever figure out how to, you know, I don't know, maybe take a little off, had it run somewhere. You still strike. So that'll be an interesting thing to look for.
Yeah, people are really impressed with the grunting.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, I
It's a conversation piece between a hitter and a catcher.
Maybe.
Yeah, he does this all the time. It's annoying. I mean, that's the conversation I'd have. It works for, look, when he's going good, obviously, you know what happened? Is somebody said, do this.
And it works in tennis. He did it. Guys grunt in tennis.
Yeah, and I turned the channel because it's annoying. That's sort of what it has to have had worked before. That's why he continues to do it.
And
mindset tells him it's so.
I'm not a big fan of showing me that you're working hard. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think that's why he's doing it. He's doing it again because, you know, he's trying to get as much going towards that little target in that catcher's mitt as he can possibly get. And that he seems to think that'll help.
Last year, this is from Richard in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, MLB instituted a rule prohibiting batters from stepping out of the box after pitches.
Yeah.
This year, every batter is going for a walk between pitches. Combined with the catcher's problems getting signs across, the games are longer than previous years. Lucky for Dolis, the pitch clock is not in place. Richard mm-hmm. Toronto. This the reason I asked this question of you, Kevin, is because David Sampson made mention of this yesterday. The difference in game speed this year is not dramatic. And if anything, their games have been longer this year. Now, I understand it's a pandemic and the rules have been altered a bit.
Yeah.
But, and I know Buck has talked about this a lot, and I know it drives Buck mad because he was a catcher. I am surprised, and this is not just the Blue Jays either. I am surprised how many times this year we have seen a catcher and a pitcher unable to get on the same page, and veterans too. I'm not talking necessarily young guys who haven't worked together. I get it. Okay, everybody's afraid that the guy on second base is going to may be able to steal a sign or maybe tipping location, all that. But there's got to be a better way, isn't there? I think
that's an easy answer. No fastballs and fastball counts.
Oh, okay.
If I'm a hitter, I got to think my way through it bad now.
That's a very simple approach.
It's not 2-0. Here it comes. I know it's going to be probably middle of the way and maybe down. Maybe I can mechanically sound enough to, you know, barrel that ball up the left center if I'm a left-handed hitter, that kind of thing. Now I'm thinking, do I take this? Do I swing at it? And when you start thinking, you think long, think wrong. And then you take more pitches, at-bats get longer. You know, not for the Blue Jays. Mm-hmm. The Blue Jays, you know, aren't seeing a ton of pitches because they're young and they want to swing it and get in and out as quick as possible. But veteran teams, that's what they're thinking. They want to swing at what they want to swing at. And you really can't 3-1. You know, 1-1 counts now or chase counts. That's a big count for a hitter. You know, if I chase this, because it's probably going to be something flipping. If I chase it, it's 1-2. If I take it, it's 2-1. That's huge flip-flop. So there's so much thinking going on. And then a catcher's thinking, he's thinking the same thing I'm thinking. Do I really want to throw it? And that pitcher's thinking, well, I do really want to throw that, but I really don't want to because I really want to go 1-2 instead of 2-1. So now the game starts to what?
Right.
So now and then people start throwing their hands up and yelling at the TV, throw the ball. You know, it's that thing. That,
you know what they need to do.
That's what it is.
You know what they need to do.
Yeah.
And I do believe this. They need to have the catcher and the pitcher wired up and basically talking to each other. And whatever you want to come out, you know, whatever you signal, 3. Just say 3. That's all you got to say. Throw it's going to happen eventually.
It's going to happen eventually. I don't know what that serves. I still think their mindset is strike you out first. Oh, you're getting my nasty slider. You're not getting my fastball down and away. You know, Cole's a breath of fresh air yesterday because he's attacking hitters with fastballs away. I mean, I know they're 98, 99, 100, but he's not trying to locate on the black away. It's outer third.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, because I know I throw hard, and I want to get ahead of you, and this is how I'm going to strike you out. You know, until that changes, I'm not sure, you know, a catcher, you know, tapping some button for 3 is really going to help that much.
George in Newmarket says we're awesome.
Yeah, that's true.
He does say that he thinks I owe you an apology.
You do, a lot of them.
For writing you yesterday about apologizing for everything.
You do.
He also wants to know if the Jays found their Jimmy John after last night. I think they may have had too much Jimmy John. Garrett Cole found his Jimmy John.
I think the Yankees have to leave town before they find that. Yankees are a better team. I mean, you can spin it and say it.
Yankees are awfully good. I can't believe you thought they quit at one point.
I appreciate you throwing me on the bus, too, and on Twitter. My wife was showing me. I appreciate that.
Well, if you were on Twitter, you can respond.
Not a chance.
Hey, what are you up to on Instagram, by the way? How many followers?
Enough.
He's embarrassed to say this. He's 10 away from 1,000. Come on, 10 of you out. 10 of you out there. 10 of you out there. You got to follow Kevin Barker Baseball.
You got to want to face it. I do want to face it. You make more money when you face it. Yeah. You got to push like. Is that what it was?
Yeah. What are you talking about?
These people.
Anyhow, 10 more. Come on, folks. Come on. We should have like a Barker telethon for Instagram, right? Right? Like we used to have the Jerry Lewis telethon. Remember? You don't remember the Jerry Lewis telethon. Jesus Christ.
Well, I mean, you're coming in here on a couple of canes.
I'm not that old. There are folks out there who remember the Jerry Lewis telethon. Come on. I know you do.
Yeah.
So get everybody out there who's on Instagram. Come on now. Come on, all of you. Everybody on Instagram.
Stop it.
Kevin Barker Baseball. It's worth it. It's a good follow. Hit the little heart button. Yeah. Is it a heart?
I have no idea. You got to like what you're seeing though to stay.
No, you don't.
It's going to be good. No, you do.
Just go on and see you like it.
I put effort into that.
He does. He does put effort into it.
I do.
He does put effort.
I'm a man of the people, Jeff.
You are indeed, and I have always said that. So there you go, everybody. Get Barker up to 1,000 Instagram followers. Maybe we'll have a prize. You know what we'll do? We'll have a prize for the 1,200th Instagram follower. Did you do it yet? Oh, he blew past it. The magic of Baseball Central.
Oh, God.
Yeah, blew past 1,000. Unbelievable. All right, writer's block is next.